Right, if you take your Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Get my pick to stay in there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 16 and 17 tonight. Now, Paul had just addressed the church, and he was talking about the differences that come about because of people not following the Lord, following other people. And I think sometimes we tend to do that because if somebody's a good leader, we think, well, we've got to follow what they're saying and what they're doing. And that's all good and well as long as they're following the Lord. But there were occasions in the church where people started following the person rather than following the Lord. And I think we can understand that a little bit because, you know, we tend to like to hear certain people. We like to be around certain people. We have preferences. And, you know, it's a natural thing for us to want to be somewhere or hear something or be with somebody or whatever else. And the problem is they were saying, you know, well, I follow Apollos, and some said, I follow Paul, and, you know, they were saying, you know, we're following particular leaders. But the Lord doesn't really want us to follow people. He wants us to follow Him. Now, do we need leaders? Yes. Do we need people who will share God's Word? Yes, absolutely. But if we're sharing the Word properly, it will not lead people to us. It will lead people to Him and to a greater relationship with Him. So in verse 16 and 17, Paul is kind of summing up what he's been talking about. In fact, let's drop back to verse 10 for just a moment and run into verse 16 from there. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. Someone else is building on it, but each one should be careful how they build, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on the foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because that day will bring it to light, and it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he builds survives, he will receive his reward. If it's burned, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Now, look at verse 16 and 17. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Father, I come to you tonight, and I pray, Father, that you'll just help us to remember every single day what a blessing it is that we have you living inside of us, walking alongside of us, talking to us, showing us, speaking to us, leading us. But we also have ourselves inside, and many times we tend to want to do what we want to do. And it doesn't bring the best things for you and for the people that you want us to reach. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'll convict us where we need to be convicted and encourage us where we need to be encouraged, edify us through your word and by your Holy Spirit. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, your outline's not very long tonight, but it's very important. And when we're talking about building a firm foundation on Christ, we have to talk about the Holy Spirit and what He's doing in our lives. And honestly, we are so very blessed as Christians to have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. I mean, just think about it. Up until Jesus came and died and rose again, and 40 days later, up until that point in all of history, the Holy Spirit never lived inside of somebody. He would come and visit people from time to time, and he would share God's message to them, but he didn't dwell with them. He didn't abide in them and they in him. So what an amazing gift that was from God, but what a cost it cost him to have that come to pass, because Jesus had to pay the ultimate sin debt for every single person in the world. And so Paul says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? It's the honor that we enjoy. We have an honor bestowed upon us when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that He wants to come and dwell within us. He wants to live inside of us. David had this desire to build the temple for God, and he wanted to bring back the worship to God like it needed to be. And so the only way he needed to do that was to build a beautiful temple where God could come and dwell amongst them. He'd been living in a tabernacle for years and years and years. And David said, that's not right. He shouldn't be living in a tent. He should be living in the best place ever. And he had a desire to build it. In fact, 1 Chronicles 22:5 says, David said, my son Solomon is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord should be great, magnificent, and fame and splendor in sight of all nations. Therefore, I will make preparation to it. So David made extensive preparations before his death. Remind me not to use that font anymore on that kind of deal. So anyway, David wanted to build this place for God to dwell. In fact, he began, even though God told him that he couldn't do it, that his son could do it, and we're talking about Solomon at that point, David began to store away things and bring things in to make preparations for the temple ahead of time, because he wanted God to be among the people and to be exalted among the people, not living in a tent. It ended up being the most expensive temple ever built when Solomon did it. And in fact, Solomon spared no expense. Every single thing that he could make out of gold, he made out of gold. Everything in it was ornate and beautiful, and in fact, it was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was just an amazing place, and people from all over the world would come to see this temple. But it's really not about the building. It's about who lives in the building. And so when we stop and think about the honor that we have, it's not that we can on the outside look great or we can sound great or whatever else. That really doesn't matter. I've known people that don't look all that great. They don't even sound all that great, but they have a heart for God. And when you see God in them, oh my goodness, it's just an amazing thing. So it's really not about the building itself, even though David wanted it to be the best and Solomon agreed with him. And when he built it, he was reminded of who it was built for. It was built for God. How could we build anything less than the best for him? That was the physical idea, at least, from Solomon's perspective. It's going to be the best. Our God deserves the very best. If God deserves the very best physically, doesn't he deserve the very best spiritually from us? He does. He deserves all of us. In fact, he bought us. He paid for us on the cross. We're not our own, Paul says. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, we are to glorify God, even in our mortal bodies. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 14 says, and the priests would not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple. When that temple was built, and when God came and began to dwell in that temple from the tabernacle over to the temple, the Bible says that it was so powerful because of the cloud of God living in that place. The priest couldn't even enter. They couldn't even enter. It was just overwhelming, the power and the presence of God in that place. Now you think that's pretty amazing. But you know what's even more amazing? God wants to live inside of us just like that. He wants to live inside of us just like that, so that when people see us, they don't really see us, they see Him. And it takes people back. I've been around people most of my life that you know, I trusted the Lord as their Savior, but they haven't always walked with Him. They haven't always listened to Him. They have, just like some of us, sometimes we don't walk with God like we should, or we don't listen to Him, or whatever it is. You know, we can come up with all kinds of excuses or reasons, but the fact is that God wants not only to dwell with us, He wants us to abide in Him. Now, compare the building of the temple of Solomon with our human bodies. Our human body, if they took out everything in our body that was worth anything, it'd be worth about $1.74. That's what, I mean, you have a little bit of, chemicals in your body that they could harvest or whatever else. But, you know, our body's not really worth that much. But we do a lot to try to keep it going, because that's where we live. But our spiritual body is priceless. Why? Because it was paid for with the greatest price ever. That's what determines the value of anything. What was the price paid? You know, it's interesting to me, people who collect things. And I haven't really watched this show very much because I don't really have much TV in my house. I don't have a TV. I watch stuff on the internet or whatever. But the bottom line is I saw this show one time, Antique Roadshow. And, you know, every once in a while, a person would walk up and show something to the guy. And the guy would go, "Oh my goodness, do you know what you have?" And obviously they didn't. And he says, this thing is so valuable. Let me tell you why. And he would trace the history of it. And he would tell them, you know, where it came from and who put it together or whatever it was. And then he would say, "This is probably worth about $150,000. And the people would go, "Oh my goodness, really?" You know? I think sometimes we just don't really realize what we have. We have God Himself dwelling inside of us. And He paid the ultimate price so that He could do that. It cost God His only Son. It's an honor that we should enjoy, that the Lord has chosen to come and dwell with His people. Well, let's talk secondly then about the habitation that we should experience. When we talk about us as individual people, we talk about a personal dwelling. See, God doesn't just live everywhere. He does. In fact, David said, "If I went to the mountains, You'd be there. If I went to the depths of the sea, You'd be there. If I went, you know, wherever I would go, to the heavens, You'd be there." God is everywhere. He's unbelievable in the fact that there's not a place anywhere that He has made that He's not there. But He's chosen, the Scripture tells us, to dwell inside of us. He lives in us. It's His home address. When He looks at you and you and you and you, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He can say, "That's where I live. That's where I live. I dwell there." The word "dwell" means to occupy. It doesn't mean that He just picks up His mail every once in a while, says hi, and then He leaves. He said, I occupy you. I'm here inside of you. I'm here with you. And I'm, by my Spirit, walking alongside of you every step of every day, encouraging you and trying to keep your mind where it needs to be and your heart where it needs to be. Leviticus 26, verse 12. "I will walk among you, and you will and be your God, and you will be my people." 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 says, What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them, that word live is dwell, and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. We are the personal dwelling place of the God of all the universe. And when Jesus came and died on the cross, He went from walking among us to living in us. You can imagine what the crowds that were gathering around Jesus thought when they saw Jesus and they heard what He had to say, and everything that He said was truth, and they were confounded by the way that He would speak and His power over demons, His power over everything. He could change water into wine. He could do whatever. He could walk on the water. He could multiply the fish and the loaves. He could tell the winds to stop blowing and they would. He could tell the seas to be calm and they would. He could do all these things. Why? Because He was God, incarnate, in the flesh. But still, even as he was with His disciples and here on this earth in those first 3.5 years, He was just among the people. But when He died and paid the ultimate sin debt for every person who would come to Him, for every person, period, anyone who chose to follow Him, anyone chose to receive His salvation, He didn't only just walk along beside them, He walks in them. He lives in you. Again, you're His home address. And He's personally active. He's not just hanging on for dear life and just going like, okay, where are You taking me today? By His Spirit, He's speaking to us. If we'll listen, God's always speaking. God's always directing. God is always encouraging. God is always there. But sometimes we're kind of like the little kid who doesn't want to hear the instructions his parents are trying to tell him, and so he's going, la, 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 I don't want to hear it. But He's always speaking to us. And He literally leaves footprints in my heart. There are times that He has spoken such incredible words to me that I'll never get over it. I'll never change and go back to what I was like. He's left His imprint in my heart because He's personally active and He's in us. Now, the temple in Jerusalem, where is it now? Not there at all. It was a temporary place. Well, it was built to be permanent, but it got destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. So it wasn't a permanent dwelling place for God. The Jewish people are still in the process of trying to figure out how they can rebuild the temple, because they feel like they have to rebuild the temple and begin sacrifices again so that God can come and live with them again, dwell in their presence. It's interesting if you follow any of the things that are going on in this world. And as we went through the book of Revelation now 2 years ago, we saw many of the signs that are going to happen before the rapture happens. One of them is the temple is going to be rebuilt. It may just be in the process of being rebuilt when he raptures us, or whatever. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I don't think anybody else really knows that. But I know this, that they have plans already to build the temple again. They're waiting to see if they can get the place on the mound that they can build it again, because there's a Muslim mosque there. But they want to rebuild the temple again. And to do that, they have to have 6 perfect red heifers. Because those red heifers have to be the first 6 sacrifices according to their law. Well, about a week and a half ago, I was reading an article online, and it was about the fact that they had finally found 6 perfect red heifers. So, I mean, everything that's supposed to come along the path is falling into place. Doesn't mean necessarily that this is going to be the exact time, but when I start, in fact, the scripture says, when you see these things happening, you need to know that he's coming soon. But here's the deal. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, he doesn't need a temple anymore to live in because we are now his temple. It's what the scripture says. It's what we read a while ago. We are the temple. In fact, in John 14, verse 16, it says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you for a while." Forever. Forever. He's never going to leave you. Ever. He will stick with you every single day, all day long, all of your life. And as you head on to the next place that God has prepared for you right now, he's preparing it for you. He'll be right there with you. He's never going to leave you. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come and go. And he would speak to people. And then he would leave. But because of Christ, he is here to stay. He pulled up in front of your physical house with his U-Haul and he moved in. Except it was a he-haul. He's inside of you if you've trusted him as your Lord and Savior. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, "God is our refuge. He's our strength, and he's a sometimes present help. He's an ever-present help in times of trouble." Have you had any times of trouble in your life? I think we all have. Sometimes it's kind of where we live, times of trouble. But the fact is that he's moved in. He's right there. We don't have to go to church to hear Jesus. We don't have to make a specific time to get our Bible out and read his word, although we should do that. He's right there. He's at the mention of his name, he will answer you. Call on Jesus. He's right there. And because of that, I think our perspective has to change. We're not just people who follow the Lord. We are people who he now lives inside of. And just as he is holy, he wants us to be holy. I mean, why would we put him inside of something that's not fixed up the very best it could be? We have become the holy place for him. We have become the holy of holies. And just as in the time of the Israelites walking from the desert to the promised land, he would always be there showing himself in a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud during the day. He was always there just so they would be reminded he hasn't left them, nor is he going to leave them. But on the day Jesus Christ paid the price for our sin debt, the scripture says that the veil in the temple that separated people from the place where God dwelled was torn from top to the bottom, the Holy of Holies. And so that means that we could all come in, but it also means that he could come out. And now he dwells inside of us. So I think the most important thing for me and for anyone else who knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, as their Lord, let me repeat it, Lord and Savior, is that we don't defile the place where he lives. We don't bring things into our life that are not of Him. And if we have things in our life that we know are not of Him, we need to get rid of it. I've known some people in my life that I think a lot of people call them hoarders. You know what that is? It means everything they've ever had is still there. And when you walk into their house, you can't even get through the house because they're not going to get rid of anything. I might need that. I might need that sometime. Folks, we got so much stuff inside of us that we really don't need. What do we really need? We just need Him. We just need Him. In fact, Jesus had told that whole crowd that was listening to Him that day on the side of the mountain, He said, listen, this is what you need to do. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all the other things will be added to you as well. But seek Him. Don't seek all that you think you can get. Don't seek all the things that this world says is important. Don't seek all the things that you think will satisfy you. Just seek Him. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 and 4. In fact, we're in that same area here. If you go back up to that, it says, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly. For since there's jealousy and quarrel among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, another says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What He said to them later is He used the word carnal. It means on the outside, you're trying to make the appearance of the place where God dwells. But the inside has got a little problem because He's not dwelling there. Carnal person is a person who says, yeah, I joined the church. Yeah, I got baptized. Yeah, I go to Bible studies. Yeah, I do all that stuff. And they're going to be the same people that stand before Jesus and say, yeah, we went to the hospital and visited people. We went to the prison and visited. We gave out food in your name. We did all those things. And He will say to you, I don't know you. You know what that means? I haven't been inside of you. I'm not with you and you're not with me. It's all about religion and it's not a relationship. We have to make sure. And folks, it is not anything... I wish I could think of the word I'm trying to think of. It's not a failure to say, that was me. I do all the things that I do because I want to look good. I want to feel good. But I don't really know if Jesus is living inside of me. Let me tell you one simple fact. And I've had people come to talk to me many times about their salvation because they said, well, you know, I did go forward one time and I prayed with the pastor and I did get baptized. And so aren't I saved? And that's not the question. The question is Jesus living inside of you? Because the Scripture says that if we will confess Him as Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, then we'll be saved. And He will come and He will make His dwelling place in us. And by the way, He's just like some other people that might move in with you. They're never going to leave. They're never going to leave. You might be wondering if they're ever going to leave. But He will never leave. In fact, He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Will we let Him really live through us? Will we allow His Holy Spirit to direct our thoughts, direct our words, direct our actions? Will we listen to Him? Will we stay in tune with Him? Will we keep our spirit on the same channel as His so that we don't get all the world's frequencies trying to mess with it? We just keep our eyes fixed on Him. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. He's done it all for us. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. Let's pray. Dear Lord, help us. Help us all to just step aside and let You truly live through us. Father, if we know You as our Savior, then You're already with us. But so many times we push You over in a corner. And we say, Lord, I'll get with You after a while, but I got to do this and this, and my agenda is so packed today. You don't know what all the things... You don't know? He knows everything. Lord, You know all things about me. Wouldn't it be better if I would just say, Lord, this is the day that You have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will listen to You. I will follow You. I will hear what You have to say. And I will do what You tell me to do. And even if it's not something that I have on my list, I'll still do it. Because it's better to follow You than to follow myself. It's better to follow You than other people. It's better always to follow You, to listen to You, and to walk in You and abide there. And I'm so grateful, Lord, that You let us do that. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks.